I will be to Acts chapter 17 sooner or later. If you want to turn there, we'll be looking at one verse in particular. Before we begin tonight, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer and also express to you that tonight's message is a little bit different. And what I seek to accomplish tonight is a little bit different than what we normally do. I want to look at an error that has been attacking our churches and being successful in it. And I hope tonight that you can have a little bit of idea what this is all about. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you. We have the wonderful privilege to enter this place tonight, and we thank you for the privilege of singing, giving glory to your name, praying, fellowshipping, giving, and Lord, to hear your word. We love you tonight. We ask you to teach us. We ask you to give us understanding hearts, open minds. And above all else, may you not only get the glory tonight, but throughout our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last few years, I have had two very close preacher friends go in a direction I never realized or never believed would ever happen. One of those men, as I talked to him about 2 years after that, he said to me, the pressure is now off. What he meant by that was when he steps into the pulpit and preaches, he no longer gives an invitation and no longer does he really seek to get folks saved. And the pressure of doing so is now gone. He was so relieved. Another, quite frankly, floored me. For many years, was perhaps one of the best soul winners I'd ever seen. And yet came to that spot where he went a different direction. I still stand astonished today as I consider that. I want to speak to you tonight about something that is spreading across our nation and through many of our churches and believed by literally thousands of people. I hope tonight I can explain this to you, not in its entirety, for it is much too large, but help you understand where we're at in this. We have had people attend in this church who believe what I'm about to share with you tonight, who perhaps would have tried to spread it, but by God's grace. It's a subtle attempt to overemphasize a good doctrine from the Word of God and to minimize another. It's an attempt to take the sovereignty of God to its extreme, to where anything and everything that has ever been done is attributed to God, whether it be good or whether it be evil. By like notion, and there's variations in this, the free will of man is reduced to puppeteering. In other words, man does not have a free will. All the choices he makes has already been made by God, and therefore, whatever choice you make was actually God's choice. To boil it down very simply is to say this: you're either destined by God to go to heaven or to go to hell. Either to be saved or not to be saved. And so we have really a tremendous challenge. One of the first things that might be asked if you were to encounter this is, what comes first? Faith or regeneration? What comes first? Let me use these words. Faith or salvation? And your answer would be, faith. But as we stop and consider that, here's the challenge that is given to you. Before you are saved, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. That's a biblical truth. Is that not true? Book of Ephesians says that we are dead in our sins. So by logic then, how can a dead man believe? And the Christian wonders, how can he believe? By the way, a misunderstanding of what spiritual death really is. And so then what comes about is this. In order for you to come to the place of belief, you must first of all be regenerated. You must have life infused into you. In other words, in order to get saved, you need to get saved first. This is being propagated in its fullest extent. This is where it heads. What I'm referring tonight to is under the term of Calvinism. There are varying forms. But I believe a damnable doctrine in the fact that it says, in order to get saved, you must, first of all, be born again. You say, I don't understand that, preacher. Well, to be born again with this kind of thought, God must do that for you, and He chooses to do that for you, or He chooses not to do that for you. In other words, you are predestinated by God to be born again. And if you're born again, then you can put your belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But if God doesn't choose you to that, then He has chosen you to go to hell. Those who will be honest in this doctrine will actually say so. What happens with that is this. It takes all responsibility of reaching the lost away from mankind because we have nothing to do with it, even for ourselves. And thus what is taking place is a group of individuals who are no longer concerned about souls. There are a few in the midst of that who do have concern. But they believe that if they're giving the gospel, it's to those whom God has chosen, and thus God has chosen them to give them that. It has nothing to do with the free will of man. Sounds strange to you? I hope so. But it is gaining foothold. It's in many churches in our locality. And we need to be very, very careful. In the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." What's very interesting is when you get folks who have some of these kinds of ideas, it becomes an elitist position whereby they know and you don't. And they can understand things, but you can't. But according to this, God, I believe, wants us to realize we can search the Scriptures and understand them. We do have the Word of God that is available to all of us. It is here to give us understanding, not reserved for a few elitists that claim they have a better knowledge than the rest. By the way, I'd like for you to scrap an idea. Oftentimes folks will say to me, "Preacher, I don't have a college education. I've not been to Bible school like you." Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you have the Word of God? Then you're not inferior to me because I've been to a Bible college. You have the same Spirit to teach you that I have to teach me. You have the same Bible to teach you that I have to teach me. Well, I haven't sunned under those professors. No, it's God who's the one who's going to do it anyway. Through whoever it is. It is here to give us understanding. The gospel that you and I have is not just for a few elect in the world. It is here for the entire world. Do you believe that? It's not for some, it's for everyone. Luke chapter 2, listen to these words. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What did He say there? What was His promise? He says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy for the elect." No, He said, for all people. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to die for a certain few. He came to die for all mankind. If you are a person, Jesus died for your sins. It is for everyone. Not just a few. It is to all people. Wonderful gospel that we have. We have the privilege to have in our hands this book that was written over a period of about 1,500 years. 40-some different men that God used to write it. But this book assembled for you and for me, written by the hand of God, if you please, and given to us that we might, not just some of us, but the entire world might hear it and can be saved. We don't send those missionaries that you see their names on that backboard back there. We don't send them to places like Thailand. We don't send them to places like Australia. We don't send them there that they might find just a few folks who've been elected by God. We send them there to preach the gospel to every creature. Not just some. But to all mankind. Listen to what the Word of God says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. You can turn to it if you want. I'm going to read to you two different verses. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Was that hard to understand? What is God saying? God is saying, we can all, what? Be saved. It is available to all of mankind. And it is the will of God that men get saved. That's what He said. He is not willing that any should perish. If you die and go to hell, it is against the will of God. Is because as an individual, you have exercised your free will. God, who is sovereign, who is over all, however, has made you and I sovereign of our lives. We can make choices. Joshua understood it. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. Elijah, as he stood there on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, he is saying to those people, you need to make a choice. My Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It does not say a few folks who've been elected by God. It doesn't say just a small amount of folks. It's whosoever will. I can look any individual in the face and I can say to them, if you will receive Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. If you will look and see that you are a sinner and recognize your sin has taken you to an everlasting hell and you are going to be separated from God forever, but you cry out to Him for His mercy, God will save you. The Bible says, for God so loved the elect that only a few folks can get saved. No, it does not say that. For God so loved what? The world. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that anybody perish. 1 Timothy, as Paul is writing to Timothy, he says this in chapter 2 and verse number 4. He says, who, referring to God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is God's will being pronounced to us. Who will have all men to be saved? Now, does the world follow the will of God? Does the world follow the sovereignty of God? I mean, God, He is overall. Many times we say, well, God is in control. Yes, God is in control of Himself. But you and I are in control of our own destiny because God has given us that privilege. We look out at the world, we see all these things that are going wrong, all this that's happening that's bad, and we sometimes want to blame God. No. He is sovereign. But we've made our choices. And because of those, we have all the problems that we have in our world. They're not God's fault. They're our fault. But you say, preacher, God works all things together for good. Yes, God somehow takes all those stupid things we do and teaches us and brings us around to a spot that for the child of God can bring about some good. Quite frankly, I don't know how He does it. And sometimes I wonder if He's doing it, but He does. But God wants all to be saved, not just a few. By the way, this goes very deep in doctrine. The man who came up with it had well over 800 pages of in his institutes trying to teach folks in this direction. It is a very complicated system of understanding. But may I say to you tonight, God does not predestine men to hell, nor does He force us to go to heaven. It is whosoever will. Is God sovereign? Yes. But God has given to you and I a free will. God allows you and I to make choices in our life. He does that for us. Most of the men in this building would like to say, I'm the man of my house. I'm the leader. And I carry a rod. And my word rules in this house. But any man who's wise in this room also knows, as you're leading people who can say yes to your leadership. Or no to your leadership. Perhaps one of the greatest leaders that ever faced a people was a man called Moses. And yet what do we find? We find that many times in those wanderings, those children of Israel said no to the leadership of Moses. Many, many times that took place. Perhaps one of the greatest kings that ever lived upon the face of the earth was David. And what do we find? We find his own son in rebellion against him. But David was king. Moses was the leader of the nation. But he also knew that those who were leading him, that he was leading, made their own choices. And God be sovereign, but He's given to you and I the privilege to say yes. You know what would simplify the pastorate for me? And perhaps this is why it's going this way. It'd be real simple for me to look at this and say, whatever's taken place, God's already determined that in your life and mine. So I shouldn't worry about the stupid things you're doing or the directions you're going or even preach against it. Matter of fact, why are we having church to start with? Could that be why many of those no longer have Wednesday and Sunday night services? I say that because it's all around us. You may not know it, but you know some people who believe some of that. Maybe not to the degree that I have just mentioned, but it's there. And we need to learn to recognize. After I studied the Calvinism, I used to think I was might be a 2 or 3 point. There's 5 points to Calvinism. I'm not going to go into that tonight. That are often described. And I thought, well, I might be a 2 or 3 point. After I discovered what they really believe about all of those things, I have reduced myself. I think I'm a 0.02. Even the doctrine of total depravity has gotten messed up. I'm saying to you tonight, be like the Bereans. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Know what God says. He said, well, the Bible does say that you're elected. Yep. God also knows what I'm going to do. But knowing what I'm going to do because He's all knowledgeable is not the same as making me do it. There's a difference. If I know you well enough, I can probably make a pretty good prediction of what you're going to do if a certain thing happened. But that is different than me making you do it. Is God sovereign? Yes. Do you have a free will? Yes. You see, if it's not a free will, then what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, God made them do it. They made the choice. God didn't make them do it. And by the same token, God doesn't make you accept Him. And God didn't make them accept those coats that day that He took off of those animals. But they made the choice to do so. And though they chose to do wrong, they also chose to receive God's grace. It was their choice. If you're here tonight and you've never made a choice for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to. For the Bible does say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've not called, He's not saving. Why would you call? Because you believe that He would hear you. That's called faith. And you see, according to that verse, it's faith, then salvation. It's not getting saved so that we can have faith so we can get saved. Very simple. Aren't you glad that God gave you the ability to get saved of your own free will? And that you accepted Him. And you have chosen to make Him Lord. This little girl right here, her name's Clarissa. She's got a sister named Candace. And a bunch of other sisters named CCCC. This little girl will do about anything I ask. How old are you? 9 years old. If I walk up to a door, she'll open it. I haven't opened a door when these kids have been around for 2 or 3 years. I've never trained them that way. I never told them. But something they started doing. Do you know what that means to me? Because they did it of their free will. Do you know what that means to God? Because of your free will, you said yes to Jesus. Yeah. That's why He didn't make us puppets. I heard some of you during prayer meetings saying, Lord, I love You. Do you reckon God's interested in that? Oh, yeah. He doesn't want a puppet. He's made to do that. He wants one that does it out of their own free will. That's why He made us that way. He's a great God. Father, tonight, thank You for who You are. Lord Jesus, I do not wish to cast a bad sight upon folks who believe some of that. Father, the brothers I spoke of tonight are still my brothers in Christ. I still love them. I disagree, but I love them. Lord, I'm thankful for that even though many do not believe in the free will of man, and yet they do speak the gospel and people get saved. Because God, You're a glorious God. Your power works in spite of us so often. We love You for that. Lord, help us understand from this that there are things there that seek to destroy us and destroy our doctrines, and they can be so subtle. Simple little questions like I asked to begin with. They can get us thinking through rationale rather than through the Word of God. Lord, we know that tonight that the devil is very deceitful. Oh God, keep us on truth. Oh God, I pray for Your guardianship in my life, in the lives of Your people. I pray You might bless and work in these moments. Lord, though instructional, I have no idea what You might have done in a harder life, in this area or another. Sometimes You speak to folks' hearts about things that we've not even mentioned. And we have the privilege to respond to You. May that be done tonight. Work in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.